Cal, I want to start actually with September 6th of last year, your statue unveiling at Camden Yards, which you gave, I think, out of all the speeches I've heard you give, that's really an all-time speech, maybe only eclipsed by your brother that day. I think some would say even Brady that day. But take us back to that game and that speech and the statue unveiling and also the game that actually ensued, which I thought was pretty special.
Well, certainly my brother and Brady both exceeded in presentation, but I sat down and thought about really what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say it. And the words just seemed to come out being able to write it. And there was some emotion in there. I mean, I was surprised by all of the statue unveilings that you really start to remember, you really start to think, and many tears started to come out, and in particular when I think of Earl. You know, Earl got all misty-eyed and teary-eyed by thinking back. And it's really the meaningful parts of who you were as Orioles and what that feels like. I thought it was just a fantastic ceremony or an idea all the way through, and I thought the Orioles just did a fantastic job of bringing back the Oriole past.
There was an old-fashioned buzz in the ballpark that night in an amazing game. The Orioles beat the Yankees at that time. I think they were tied at the American League East, a big four-game series, and you said in your speech that being an Oriole means meaningful September games. And I just had chills when you said that night.
Well, I mean, I wish I had more meaningful September games myself, but I had a chance to feel the great feeling that it has to win a World Series and be part of some great Oriole teams. But also you feel like when you're playing in September when it's not very meaningful. So maybe I could appreciate it and understand it a little bit more, but there was an electricity in that ballpark in September. And I remember Yankee Stadium being way intimidating and way loud, but in this particular year, the new Yankee Stadium was not as electrifying as Camden Yards, and it was great to see all the Oriole orange.
Did you find yourself paying attention to every box score, every game, watching, going throughout August and September and into October last year?
Yeah, I mean, part of my gig with TBS is you got to figure out who's making the playoffs, and then you got to figure out which teams do you watch carefully in preparation, because you can't physically watch all the games around the league. But I always watch the Orioles, and certainly it was fun for me to actually pay close attention to every detail of the Orioles all the way down the stretch. And I even got a chance to call the Oriole-Yankee series in the booth. Didn't have much experience in the booth. I was pulled in there. But it was really, really exciting. And in some ways, I had to curb my excitement because I was supposed to be neutral up there in the booth. But it was a great seat to watch the games.
I think you did a great job, and that is tough to do. And then here you are, a Baltimorean, an Oriole, and you're calling Orioles playoff series against the Yankees. It doesn't get any bigger than that as far as the challenge is concerned.
Well, I mean, I think maybe I was too aware of my bias, and maybe I went pro-Yankees a little bit. But to me, you're watching a game, and you're trying to unfold some of the real cool things that are happening in the game, and I lived it. So it wasn't too hard to identify strategy things or what might be going through someone's mind, you know, what Derek might be thinking about at shortstop. You know, those were the things I was glad to be able to give. And it's fun. It's fun being in the booth because you get to react to what happens now. When you're in the studio, you kind of have to save it, and maybe it might be relevant or it might not be 4 or 5 hours from now. But I enjoyed being in the booth.
Let's talk about your new book as part of this series now with three more to go, but the new one is Wild Pitch. Tell us about this book. I know everyone's kind of a different aspect of childhood that a kid may encounter. Tell us about Wild Pitch.
Yeah, I'm not going to assume that everyone knows that that this series exists. I mean, this is a wonderful kids series. It's our third book right now. The first one was Hothead, which deals with a kid with a bad temper, and that was me, by the way. Second one was Super Size Slugger or Super Slugger in the paperback version, and that was about a bullying issue and about a kid just being a little bit bigger and not a conventional looking third baseman. And then this one is Wild Pitch. It's about a kid that loses his confidence because he accidentally hits another kid in the head. And many times we think about the hitter saying, oh, how's he going to ever get back in the box? How is he going to get his courage back? But in this particular case, we wanted to show the pitcher's feelings as well. And he lost his control, didn't want to throw the ball hard. He was fearful he was going to hit somebody. And really it was that whole struggle about how do you get your confidence back? How do you get repaired in some ways? And without giving away the ending of the story, he befriends someone, a unique friend, that helps him come all the way back. So we had a fun time writing the story. It's a meaty book. It's about 197 pages. It's exactly 197 pages. But we love to deal with certain social issues or values in the form of this little kids team that everyone can relate to those characters. And we've had a good time delivering an important message to kids.
Are you drawing more from your own personal experiences growing up or even your children's experiences growing up?
A little of both. I mean, all my experiences being in and around baseball, being a part of a team, certainly the temper tantrum one you can draw from any team that you want because it's a struggle to try to figure out what to do with that frustration when things don't go well. But being around teams, I got to say I never hit someone in the head and was really bothered by it where I couldn't throw a strike after that. But I've seen many, many people who have. And, you know, it was always very important. You're not competing the game to hurt somebody else. I mean, sometimes you might misunderstand at the highest level where you start to have a beanball sort of episode and where the fight evolves, but that's not the intention of games, and especially not in the youth level. So you want to make sure that you really, you know, dealt with the feelings of both the hitter and the pitcher. And I think many times kids, when they read something, and especially in a fictional sense, it's not so emotional, it's not so close to home, and the learning can take place that much greater.
And Cal, I do want to ask you about your experience in New Orleans, Louisiana, about a month ago.
How was that?
You're speaking, of course, of the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. I've had a chance to go to many Super Bowls, but this one was very special for me. I'm a Ravens fan. My whole family is a Ravens fan. And being around there and seeing, I tell you what, everybody from Baltimore, I think, was there. They all might not have had tickets to get into to watch the game, but they were in New Orleans.
Oh, that way.
It was a sea of purple. And I've got a chance to know Steve Bisciotti very well. I couldn't be more happy for the way that he's built this organization. It's an outstanding organization. And it's good to see the Baltimore take the Super Bowl again.
And good call on Joe Flacco with the extension.
Well, Joe just couldn't get over the hump. I mean, we all think he's a great quarterback, and it was great to see him, you know, perform on the biggest stage. So, yeah, I'm exceptionally happy that we have him.